Welcome to Worldview Matters, discussing controversial issues, discerning current events, defending biblical Christianity. No topic off limits. And now, here's your host, David Fiorazzo.
Welcome, friends, family in Christ. Thank you so much for tuning in. Another very important book we're going to be talking about today, and the topic that's so important, not only the Bible, but Israel, of course. The book is called Israel's Place in God's Eternal Plan, and it's written by Tom Hughes, Pastor Tom Hughes, and Craig Clark, who works with Tom, and that's at hopeforourtimes.com, hopeforourtimes.com. I want to bring them both in right now and introduce these gentlemen. Thank you guys so much for your time today.
You bet. Thanks for having us on, David. Great to be back.
Well, Tom, good to see you again. And Craig, this is your first time on, but you helped Tom with this book. And I would love for you just to share a little bit about how you started working together and maybe a little bit about your background at the church, whatever you'd like to share to get our audience a little bit more familiar with you.
Well, thank you very much for having us. It's a blessing to do ministry with you and to be on your program. And I've been working with Pastor Tom since, I think, 2011. So I've served underneath him and in different aspects, and now I'm just really excited to be at Hope for Our Times and to see how the Lord is using Hope for Our Times to reach people with the hope that is found only in Jesus Christ. And I'm able to serve in a few different ways here, and I help with the website, I help with the production, and I've helped with this book. And it was Pastor Tom's vision to use this book to teach the church about what the Bible really says about Israel. And as you know, as Pastor Tom well knows, Israel is under attack right now, not just by the world, but also in the church itself.
Now, that's one of the biggest problems, is the biblical illiteracy and the declining biblical worldview. It's sad. I guess, Pastor Tom, maybe not surprising. Maybe could you address that briefly? That's part of the problem and part of the need, that why we have books like this come out that the body of Christ needs to understand the Word of God and what it teaches regarding Israel. Go ahead.
Yeah, in fact, the body of Christ just needs to know what the Bible teaches, period. And, you know, I've spoken in conferences for years and a senior pastor for a couple of decades. And formerly I was on staff at Drake Laurie's church as a pastor. And so I've been in ministry for a long time. But if we go back, David, say 30 years, I know you remember the days when men would graduate from seminaries and they were told, hey, send out some kind of survey into the neighborhood that you want to go or the city where you want to go plant a church and find out what the people want. Hence, they go there and they would start planting churches based upon what the people want. And it's such a reminder, 2 Timothy chapter 4, where the people will no longer put up with sound doctrine. And Paul there, he's writing about churched people. They will no longer put up with sound doctrine. In other words, they won't put up with the truth, or they will not endure sound doctrine. Instead, they'll raise up for themselves teachers that make them feel good, itch their ears. They won't bring in the truth, but they will bring in fables and stories to make you feel good. So this is where we are. And the problem in the church is that we have gotten away from not just the Old Testament, but so much of the New Testament also. And everything has been brought into, let's do a series on relationships. Let's do a series on how to have your finances together at home. And they'll bring in a Bible verse here, Bible verse there, and that's about it. That is not Bible teaching. And I'll tell you something else I've seen, David, in prophecy conferences, even the lack of Bible knowledge is challenging. One of your other guests you've had on frequently, Pastor Brent Holdhouse, we're very good friends, and we have both commented on this. It is getting embarrassing sometimes in realizing people, you go to a Bible prophecy conference where people should have Bible prophecy figure out nation of Israel, and they don't. So the goal is to help just teach people what the Bible actually says. And this is this book that we have out right now as part of our new series is Bible Prophecy Made Easy. So we have a second one coming out in a few more months. And it's to help people be educated, go, that's what the Bible says. I'm sure you've seen it, David. Most Christians that support Israel have one verse they can quote, Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, I'll bless those who bless thee, I'll curse them who curses you. And they can't get beyond that. And it's, I won't necessarily fault them, but I will fault the teachers that they're not being taught these things. And I mean, the Bible has hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of scriptures regarding Israel in the past, in the present, and even in the future. And so it's getting it into the place. And I'm sure you remember this, David. Remember J. Vernon McGee? He used to say, you got to get the cookies off the shelf where the kiddos can get them. And that's where it is. If you make it too high theologically, the majority of people can't get it. But you bring the Bible to the place where God intended it to be, and people go, I get it. And then they can enjoy it, and they'll start to connect.
So, Pastor Craig, could you speak to this? I used to live in Southern California. I was out there for 17 years. And I'll never forget when I learned some of the history of the Crystal Cathedral. I think it was Robert Schuller who went door to door, like what you were saying, and asked people what they wanted, or if what kind of church would you go to? And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, what a recipe for disaster. It's not what the Bible teaches, what they need to know, but it's what would they want? Of course, they want the world, right? And that's the mega church movement ballooned in the 70s, going into the 80s and the 90s, the emergent church. I know we're getting slightly off topic, but it's very important to understand what the problem is within the church in America. Craig, could you speak to that?
I think one of the biggest problems that we have in the church in America is people want to be comfortable. They don't want to, like Pastor Tom says, from Scripture says, to endure sound doctrine. Enduring takes effort, correct? Mm. It doesn't just happen and you're just not comfortable. So we want to be comfortable in our lives, and the Word of God is not necessarily comfortable, because it calls us out onto the carpet of ways that we need to improve, of things that we are doing incorrectly. And so if you can go to a big building, you can check your box for Sunday morning. I went to church. I did good stuff. I heard something that made me feel happy inside. I felt joyful. Okay, so you've checked the box, but have you grown? Are you more like Christ, which is what a Christian is called to be, is to be Christ-like. And we know that Christ's life was not easy. We know that Jesus went through different things that were very difficult. And why should we expect anything different, especially at church? If we're called to grow, if we're called to endure sound doctrine, that means it's going to be a little uncomfortable, and we have to be okay with that. We have to be able to endure that with Jesus and know that the end goal is to be more like him.
Mm. Yeah, deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me, and things like that Jesus said, not very popular. But you know what? That's the Christian life. It is sacrifice. It is discipline. But you know, what do we get? We get an amazing hope. We get salvation. We get an assurance that the rest of the world can't even fathom. And most other religions, if not every other religion, they don't have that assurance. Pastor Tom, would you care to speak to that aspect?
Yeah. When we look at that, not enduring, just a few verses before that in the same book, 2 Timothy, Paul writes, and he gives the characteristics of the people, mainly the characteristics of what's happening in the church. People be lovers of themselves rather than lovers of God. And then as you go through there, Paul says evil men and imposters will get worse and worse. Ultimately, the connection is with those who are actually leading God's church. And then he says, however, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But he concludes after that and says, however, you who are believers, continue in that which you know, which is the truth of the word, because this is only going to get more and more like that. And David, we have the responsibility, and you do an outstanding job with your program. We have the responsibility. God's given us the ability to be able to communicate the truth to the world. Some people will receive it. As we know now, we can see comments on social media. A lot of people won't, but we aren't called to have people like us on social media.
Thank you.
We are called to deliver the truth.
I just spoke with another guest recently about that very issue, and he was getting pressure from others, and we tend to be censored or shadow banned about certain things we talk about. But I said, you know, brother, what does it come down to? And I think it's obedience and standing on the truth of God's word. What did the disciples say when they were told not to speak in the name of Jesus? We must obey God rather than man. And I know it might not be popular even within the church, some of these issues, but we've got to keep speaking to it. Guys, before we continue, is hopeforourtimes.com the best place to get this book?
Yes. So if they go there, what they will get right now, and this book is just through a donation only, right? So it's not in our store. Okay. And what they'll get is an ebook. It'll be audio. It'll also be, they can upload it onto a tablet, for example, or they can just do the PDF. And that's if they make a donation, they will get that. We have, David, we don't have many in print. We just have a few print in print to show people. We hope in the future to be able to print out enough of them and to be able to send the printed copy out too. But right now they will get the ebook as for donation.
Okay, so you mentioned Genesis 12:3, and there are so many other scriptures. What else? I know you had to condense it and decide what to write about, to keep in, what to maybe leave out. That must have been difficult. But Craig, what are some other scriptures or topics related to either Israel, the Old Testament, world history, anti-Semitism? What else from your book would you like to highlight real quick?
Definitely Jerusalem, because that is the bullseye right now, is Jerusalem, and especially into the Temple Mount area itself. And we see that Jerusalem is a thorn, right? It's a sticking place for people. And why is that? Well, in Scripture, it says that it's the future seat of the Messiah, right? Jesus himself is going to come back and sit in Jerusalem and rule over the world. So if Satan, if the enemy of our souls can disrupt that in his plan, in his demented thinking, if he can disrupt that, then Messiah is not going to come back. We know that's not true, but that's his goal. That's his thinking. So we talk about that in the book, of the importance of Jerusalem. Why is Jerusalem important to Bible prophecy? Why is Jerusalem important to Israel itself? Pastor Tom also went into the spiritual battle that we all deal with. And it's an attack on Israel, is a spiritual attack against Bible-believing Christians as well. Because it's trying to prove that what we believe is false and that what we believe is not true. So it would shake some people's faith and some people's relationship. And so we address that through scriptures as well. And we know that we're in a spiritual battle right now. And how do we counteract that spiritual battle? Is with scripture. And this book is just filled with scriptures from front to back, proving why Israel matters to God.
So there, it is a spiritual battle at its root, and that means if we look into world history, I'm sure you guys get into Islam coming against Israel or anti-Semitism. I know you probably touch on, but do you speak about Islam, and what do you address there, Tom?
Not in this book, we don't. Okay. What I wanted to do was just really, it is Bible prophecy made easy. So I do deal with, we do deal with anti-Semitism in it, but it's not pointing out groups. I'm hoping that somebody who's Muslim will take the book and read it, because it's straightforward, but it's really simple. And it's loaded with scripture, and the scripture within context. So, for example, chapter 1, Israel is called to be a nation that is wholly set apart to God. You know, I point that out in there. But what is the purpose? And then, so you look at that purpose with Israel, you follow that through from its very beginning all the way to the end. And you realize, well, wait a minute, there is no Messiah if there is no Israel. In understanding these different dynamics, the Messiah had to be Jewish. There's so many different things. And listen, Jesus isn't coming back if Israel isn't still here. And when you start to understand everything within the context, it begins to make sense. Another is Ezekiel chapter 36. Pretty straightforward. God says, my name is on the covenant, therefore I will bring you back into the land. Here's a strange thing that I think most people don't realize, probably most pastors don't realize it, is that a prerequisite for the last days is that Israel must be brought into the land before they repent. And because it's not until they are in the land that they end up turning to the Lord during the seven-year tribulation period. But God says, I'm going to draw them back, Ezekiel 36, before they turn to me. So when people say, well, Israel's evil, how could you support them? Well, who isn't evil? I mean, when you start looking at that, Israel seems to be singled out by the world at large, and we know it's a spiritual battle. As Craig said, the enemy wants to keep Jesus from coming back, because ultimately when Jesus comes back, the enemy's retirement plan starts, and he doesn't like that. He doesn't want his retirement, and that's going to last forever and ever to start. So, and he also, Isaiah chapter 14, Lucifer says, I will ascend, I will be like the Most High. Mm-hmm. This is Satan's attempt to do that, to make God a liar. And Israel is the target of making God a liar. It won't work. But many people believe that these things that are out there against Israel are true.
So you mentioned Jesus is Jewish, and this might be for most of our listeners and viewers, I'm guessing, unless we have a lot of new viewers, that this is, you know, people, you go, yeah, of course. But yet there's propaganda out there, and the left is very good at deception. And the enemy, Satan, is the father of lies, right? The author of confusion. So how do people get confused about the Jesus being a Palestinian, or when we hear the refugee talk around Christmas time? You know, how do people fall for that? And is that just getting away from Scripture? Is that ignorance of what the Bible teaches, or about world history, about Palestine, Palestinians? Could either one of you speak to that?
Check, 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 check. All of the above. It is complete ignorance of facts, whether it be secular facts or biblical facts. It's complete ignorance of it. You know, understanding how the term Palestine even came about. That was 100 years after Jesus. You know, almost all of your viewers have a Bible, and in the back it says Palestine at the time of Christ. Most Bibles have that. Well, the maps are not inspired by God. The word is, the maps are not. There was no Palestine at the time of Christ. 100 years later, at the time of Hadrian, the Roman ruler, is when that name came about. And the very first people ever called Palestinian were actually the Jews living in the land of Israel in 135 AD. And that was an attempt to mock the Jews and humiliate them. And Hadrian did several other things, which we don't have time to get into right now, in order to humiliate the Jews and eliminate the thought of the Jews and the Jewish God, including Yeshua, Jesus, forever. He wanted those names to be eliminated. Hadrian seemed to believe that the Jewish God may be real, so he tried to deal with that. Very fascinating. Anyways, so when you look at it, so Bethlehem is now in what is called Palestinian territory. You and I obviously would call it Judea and Samaria. The world calls it the West Bank, Palestinian territory. Therefore, Jesus was born in Bethlehem, he is Palestinian. Well, that's about as absurd as you can get.
Yeah.
It was Herod. What happened when you come around to the time of Christ, when the wise men come from the east to worship him who's born king of the what? King of the Jews. Herod said, oh, there's a Jewish king. I have to eliminate not the Palestinian refugee.
That's right.
I have to eliminate this thought of this Jewish king. So what did he do? He has his troops go and slaughter all the Palestinian boys 2 years old and younger. No, all the Jewish boys 2 years old and younger in Bethlehem while Jesus was taken by Mary Joseph and fled to Egypt for safety. So, but this whole thing, the concept is a lie. Nevertheless, the majority of churched people actually are believing these things, that Jesus was Palestinian. And a lot of it, David, I'm sure you've heard this before. People get asked on the streets. I know Craig knows because we've talked about it. People get asked on the streets, well, Jesus, and they'll say something like, well, Jesus wasn't Jewish. He was Christian. And you're going, what? And you're going, but I mean, people believe this kind of stuff. And it's like, wow, so when people are that dumbed down when it comes to history and the Bible, you know, if you don't have either of those, man, can you manipulate the masses? History and the Bible are extremely important. Hence, we have here in America the attempt to rewrite the history. We've seen that over and over again. And then take the Bible, and you know, you rewrite the Bible simply by saying the Old Testament does not apply to us. When you see Israel in the New Testament, doesn't mean Israel, it really means the church. You have just rewritten the Bible is what you have done.
Boy, I'm so glad you explained all that again. I mean, maybe most of our viewers and listeners don't need a refresher on that, but some people, oh, that's right, King Herod did go after because he was the Jesus was the king of the Jews. Anyway, I want to mention your YouTube channel, Hope for Our Times, guys. You can get all the videos there at Hope for Our Times, as well as, you know, on the website, hopeforourtimes.com. So, Craig, maybe you can speak to this. Let's take a little different direction here for a moment. And something I saw you guys put up on your Facebook page based on one of the Today in Prophecy, you had to make a correction recently. And I say this because discernment, I think that might be the word of the year for the church in 2026. I don't know, but one of the key issues that we've really got to be discerning, know the Bible, know the truth, but also discern and pray for wisdom and understand what's happening in our culture with technology. I've got Patrick Wood's 2026 forecast, and talks about the advancement of AI. You guys had in one of the videos, I think it was a Muslim call to prayer. Was it in New York City? And then you realized it was AI generated and maybe not authentic. But even though that is going on in some places, could Craig, would you speak to that, please?
Yeah, definitely. It's amazing how far AI technology has come just in the recent, we'll just say 6 months, even a year, and how easy it is for these things to look real and to look genuine. And for us, we are in media all day long. On my side, I'm on the media all, with the team, media team. We're in it all day long, and we see these things all day long, and they're getting so good. It is so hard to, as you say, discern what is real and what is not real. And we have to be so careful with that. And we can see it's just leading towards the path of where people will not believe sound doctrine because they think it's fake. Because you're gonna go from believing everything is true to believing everything is fake. And we rely upon the Lord to reveal those things to us. And it's easy for us to get caught in seeing a video and thinking it's real when it's not. And that's what we do all day long. And we talked also, how easy is it going to be for the people at home that aren't in this all day long to be deceived by those videos that are up, that are being uploaded constantly everywhere. And so when Pastor Tom had mentioned, we need to pull this down. We thought it's a good lesson for everybody, the viewers, for us to it's okay. You get caught, but we need to admit to it and then continue to be diligent in that fact of, not everything out there is real right now, and it's very easy to be deceived.
And yeah, this is a warning for all of us. I mean, and I've been telling our viewers here for a while, if they see some sort of video of me and even hear my voice saying things that are not biblical, that are something that I would probably never say, that is the opposite of the biblical worldview, like you guys probably have warned your church, chances are that's AI or someone else created that video. You know, people have done that against other ministries already. I've seen it. Another warning for discernment. Tom, before we get back into Israel's place in God's eternal plan, could you please speak to this important issue as well?
Yeah. So it was, unfortunately, I chose to have that video in. And then it wasn't until later on when I realized, wait a minute, something doesn't feel right, you know? And so we were able to figure it out. You know, I text Craig super early in the morning. I said, sorry about that. Let's pull this thing down. And then we have to apologize. Want to tell people the truth. You know, so the next day on the news, we said, look, this is what happened. I think if we are clear with people, letting them know, even when we've been caught, that they'll get that. I was asked a question. I was speaking at the Eagle Forum just a few days ago, and a person came up to me afterwards and asked this question. In fact, it was the night before I did that newscast. And they said, with all of the fake videos out there, what can I do to be sure that I'm not fooled? I said, I'm going to tell you something. I have the same problem you do. I said, it's there. I wish it would be just like, oh, you just do this, and you know it's fake. It's getting harder and harder and harder. That was the night before that other one I recorded another news break. So we have to be much more careful. But it also is a reminder of the words of Jesus where he says in the tribulation that the deception will be so great that if possible, even the elect would be deceived. Mm. So we are getting to this point where you could start riots for something by something that's fake, all different dynamics. And I believe it is coming. I have a couple of friends now in the prophecy world that have told me their words were, their face was taken, their mouth and everything,
yep.
and exactly the opposite words were put into their mouth. I'm convinced that will be happening to me also. Obviously, I stand for Israel, and I even tell what it means to support Israel and what it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean everything Israel does, we say, is perfect. However, it's just a matter of time. And with you, David, too, I'm sure you're going to be faked also.
Yep. It,
but we got to be careful that we don't turn to the left or the right of this book. And
yes.
that's what the Bible tells us. There's no other possible way that we will keep from being deceived if we are not in this book. And so what we see has to line up with this book. The problem is a lot of these fake videos will feed into the mind of the person that wants their side or their ideology to be advanced. So they will promote it out there, even if
yep.
they know it's fake.
Yeah.
And so they will do it.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. The need for discernment cannot be overemphasized. Pastor Craig, share your final thoughts maybe on maybe a portion of the book, Israel's Place in God's Eternal Plan, that you really want people to get or learn more about.
I think a big thing right now is a question me and Pastor Tom both get quite often is, well, what about the political side of Israel? And so for us, we're not saying everything the political side of Israel does is correct. Not everything that the political side that the United States does is correct. And there's no perfect government. So for us, it's obeying the word of God and supporting God's chosen people, Israel and the Jews. That is what we're supporting. That is what we're putting all of our effort, all of our time into, is supporting them, because that is what the Bible commands us to do, not the political side of it.
Amen. That needs to be emphasized as well, because we aren't to blindly support everything. But again, friends, know what the Bible teaches, discern, and exciting times in 2026. Who knows what's going to happen, right? It went by fast, as I knew it would, with you guys. Thank you so much for all you do. And thanks for your time again, friends. HopeForOurTimes.com. Tom, Craig, God bless you both. Enlarge your territory. Lord willing, we'll do this again in the near future.
God bless you. Thank you, David. Try to stay warm in Wisconsin.
Will do.
God bless you. Thank you.
Thanks, brothers. All right, friends. Thank you for watching, listening, and sharing the podcast. God bless you. And as always, keep speaking the truth about things that matter.